Welcome to Agency Phonics. I forgot where I was then. Episode number 48. Hope you're all enjoying the new intro. We're joined by Peter Hall today. He is otherwise engaged, which is a shame, but nevertheless, I am delighted today to welcome Clive Mission and Ruth Kieran. And I'll talk a little bit more about who they are in a second. But first of all, I just have to say a couple of thank yous. As always, thank you to our sponsors for both the community and the podcast, Forecast. They have project management software specifically works very well with agencies. And they've been tremendous support for us. Everything we do is as a not-for-profit, as a social enterprise, Agency Nomics and Agency Phonics. And so we can't really operate that totally without any funds and extra support. So Forecasts have been very generous in helping us fund all of our great content. So big thank you to Caitlin as well for producing behind the scenes. Today we're live on both YouTube and LinkedIn. So we're here today to talk about trade bodies and the importance of trade bodies and for agency leaders and also for the wider team as well. So who better could I have today than Clive and Ruth? So Clive is the founder of the Alliance of Independent Agencies, which we now affectionately just call the Alliance. Of independent agencies supports the independent agency sector. So specifically, any type of agency, if you're independent, that's the trade body for you to join. It's a good sales plug there, Clive. And then second of all, Ruth Kieran, who is the are you technically the CEO, or are you you are CEO, so CEO of Circle. And Ruth's joined us because she's actually a member of the Alliance, and we thought it would be really great, actually, rather than maybe myself and Clive talking about the benefits it's brought us over the years in our careers, but to have someone who is running an agency today and is also a member and can share those benefits with you. So Ruth, I'm going to come to you in a second to hear about your story as well and that, but first of all, Clive, now I think I worked out the other day that I was about 12 years old when you started in agencies. So although I'm always called the grey haired person, the grey haired advisor, you have no grey hairs and you've been doing this a lot longer than me. So when I think I've been there and seen it, I think you've been there and seen it a lot more than me. And so you have had a pretty distinguished career. You have built several very large agencies. And I mean, can you give us a little point of history on your career path to date?
It's a bit over exaggerated. Several. I've been involved in two very successful businesses, and I'm being part of and invested in another smaller ones that haven't exited but have been officially independent, which is something that we like and we'll come on to. I started in promotions. I went to Polytechnic. So I moved away from universities and therefore had a practical course and spent a year in industry. And I worked in a very small advertising agency. Then I got into promotions and I joined a large...
You literally started client services, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not starting for client services, but that was when I started, and back in probably 81. So, yeah, when you were probably 11, I think.
10 actually, yeah, damn, okay. Even younger.
Anyway, so, but I mean, more to the point of bringing it around, I mean, it was actually when I was 28, I actually acquired a small agency out of DNB&B, and that's why I have tremendous admiration for those people who can start with a blank sheet of paper, like yourself, and Circle started with a blank sheet of paper. We acquired a small business, a large group, and over the following 10 years built it, and then did what was being in the right place at the right time in terms of promotions. We were in the top 10 promotional agencies in the country and sold it to an agency that ultimately became part of IPG. That's when I realized for absolutely sure that I was much more dependent upon the independent world than the wholesale world. So after less than 2 years, I managed to get myself fired. And then I started Mentor Marcoms and Investments to invest in businesses in the marketing sector by mentoring them and putting my money where my mouth was. Fortunately, the first one of those was KitKat and Nora Alexander Shaw, which, again, we didn't start from scratch. We acquired that out of administration. I just started with a relatively small business. It was slightly larger than Marketing Drive when we bought it. And within a 6 months, had lost most of our clients because buying something out of administration is never the easiest thing to do. But it taught me a huge amount because KitKat and Nora Alexander Shaw showed me what a really good agency is made up of, which is made up of complementary skills. And the four executive partners all complemented each other. And then we were acquired by Publicis in order to put KitKat Nor over Digitas and run that. Now that started all very well. And then not going into too much detail, we did end up in court. It was a 2-week trial. Without defaming anybody, they probably reneged on their contractual obligations, so the judge said, and won the case. But we went through 3 years of hell. So that's another thing that probably put me off holdcos and the way in which they acquire independence but don't necessarily treat them that well once that's all gone on. So just also to correct you marginally, I'm the founder director of the Alliance, but the Alliance actually is rooted in an organization that's been going for over 30 years. And I know that you were part of a previous incarnation, which was the Marketing Agencies Association, the MAA. And I was a previous chair of the MAA. In fact, in those days, it was called the MCCA.
I think it was called the MCCA when I first went on the board. Then I think it rebranded as the MAA from memory anyway.
It's been through a number of iterations, and now it's the Alliance. But that was my introduction to the world of trade associations, and it proved really valuable. It made good friends out of some people that would say were your enemies, so you can maybe work on the premise that keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But we have built up good relationships with people who were competitors, and be prepared to open up. And it was also very valuable to keep one's ear to the ground and find out what was going on, what the temperature was, what those kind of issues were. If you were involved in pitches and you didn't feel very comfortable about it, you'd probably know who you're competing against and probably knew people on the boards of those organizations and get up to the phone to them and share those things in confidence. So it's always been valuable to me. And therefore, when in 2018, 2017, the MAA got into some financial problems, it could have disappeared. And Graham Kemp and I felt that it was really important that there be somewhere where agencies who are not members of larger trade associations could come together and have a collective voice in order that those issues could be learned. And actually, it's turned into a very different organisation than one that we took over 3.5 years ago. And therefore, the Alliance really represents the agencies that we represent. Mm. And I would say we were fortunate enough to have what I think Enlightened Business is called a show board, i.e. we had an advisory board. We also had a running in parallel younger people who we call future leaders. And they were the ones who took us into the areas and drew to our attention the importance of things like mental health and sustainability and diversity. And therefore, we took the lead from them and we created an organization that really represented and provided platforms for those issues. Mm. And also, we were seeing a coming together of perhaps the C-suite who didn't necessarily take those issues as importantly as the people who they were employing. And then we think it's one of our roles to actually bridge that gap. What we've been doing.
So I do want to drill more into those benefits, but I just want to say, first of all, that, you know, you've had an accomplished career, yet at the end, you're not really the end of your career, but you think that you'd be retired now, sunning it in somewhere in the Balearics. But you actually, he does do that. I know he does. I didn't say New Yorker, but anyway. But you know, you to suddenly, and Graham, you know, after an incredible career in the business, to then, you know, go in and refund and bring back to life something that very unfortunately, had a demise. It's quite a brave thing to do. What makes you? I know that you feel passionate about independent sector, but is it ultimately the fact that you've done so well out of an industry for many, many years, both of you, that in a way it's your time to pay it forward and to help the next generation of age? Is that why you do what you do? Because I mean, it's still quite a big commitment now, really, for both of you to come in. I know you have a fantastic team around you, but nevertheless, I'm sure Ruth agrees.
Yeah, no, I know that you're a big advocate in terms of playing it forward, and you certainly do that with Agencynomics and the work that you do.
Because I know you don't do this for the money, so I'm just trying to understand what the motivation is.
The motivation is we felt that it was very important that after 30 years, an organisation that had done a lot of really good things in its time shouldn't disappear. And it was as simple as that. And fortunately, we were in a position in order to be able to fund it and to allow it to grow. There are no guarantees on this. And I suppose when you're so-called having a good time, you don't notice the hard work that's going into it. But we do it. And, at this very moment, Graham is working very hard because we're just finalising the shortlist for the Internet Awards, which we'll be announcing at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, live, and being broadcast on YouTube as is this. So yeah, we're putting our hearts and souls into it, but we couldn't do it without the support of the members. And when we took over the organisation, there had been 28 members who had paid, and there were others who claimed to be members but hadn't paid. We took over the obligation to honour those memberships, but we're now 84 members. So something is going right.
I wanted to get the message across to everyone listening to this, that, you know, in a world where purpose is much more at the forefront than profit when it comes to growing and scaling a business, that, you know, as an independent agency, no matter what stage you are, supporting your wider industry and sector is a really good thing to do, not only for the value of that we're going to talk about in a minute and hear about the benefits it brings your agency, but for the greater good of the wider independent agency community. And, you know, I think it's really important to understand that I think agencies, and especially when you've had any level of success as well, should always, you know, pay it forward. They should go back and support an industry that served them well. But I think it's very admirable what you've done, because I know you were in a position to do it, but nevertheless, I'm sure, and I do know, it takes up a huge amount of your time, and that is to be admired. So I wanted to say thank you on behalf of everyone, to say for everything you've done. Because I was very sad when I read about the MAA getting in trouble, but, you know, I wasn't there going, right, I'm going to relaunch it and restart it. You were, and you reached out to everybody, and I've been delighted to try and do my bit in a small way behind the scenes to help as well. But I just want to make sure everyone listening knows that this is, if you're going to look at any trade body, this is the real story behind the trade body, and it's a really good reason why you should align yourself to it. So, Ruth.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting segue, because actually I knew Clive and Graham through the previous iteration, and obviously was really sad when things didn't go right. But actually, I was so pleased when Graham approached me to say that they were sort of breathing new life into it. And I joined on the advisory board at that point because I was so passionate about the benefits that I'd had in previous agencies all along the way. With the organisation, and it's about the passion behind the industry rather than any kind of commercial focus. And I think Clive and Graham embody that. You know, they've been embodying that for years. It's been, that's why everyone's so passionate and people give up their time and volunteer to support, because it is an amazing organisation that helps independent agencies no matter what your specialism in, which is, I think, is really unique to the Alliance, actually.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we said just before we started the episode, I said, I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't have been for the MAAG, because actually when I started doing consultancy, you know, the person that I was introduced to by Scott Knox, who I think you've got as a guest on, for those listening live at 5 p.m. today, Clive Roof, is that
five,
right? You've got
5 p.m. He's coming, he's being broadcast live in from Toronto.
Yes, so he's the former MD of the MAAG and MAA, and he's now in North America, and he's going to be speaking about lessons from North America, I believe.
He is, yeah.
Good. So, I wouldn't be where I am today if it hadn't have been for trade bodies in many different ways. So, Ruth, I completely understand what you're saying there. I think it plays a part in most of our journeys. What's been the, before we talk about maybe the Alliance in particular, but on your journey, what were the main benefits, would you say, to you in your career of so far of being associated with trade bodies or being part of?
I think, every trade body is different, and it depends what kind of agency you are. And so no one size fits all. But I think having peer-to-peer collaboration, being able to network, be able to meet like-minded people, I think that's, you know, and networks are so important throughout your career, building those networks. And I think, obviously, I started my career in the mid-90s when LinkedIn wasn't a thing even. Email wasn't even really a thing then. But the fact that now we've got so many brilliant networks and platforms, but the Alliance and those trade bodies giving, and I think kind of from junior people, you know, starting out in their careers, so the Alliance offers kind of diplomas to kind of people right at the beginning of their careers to kind of learn the craft, right up to CEOs who have some, I mean, obviously the last year or so has been quite challenging and quite unusual. So getting together with other, you know, agency leaders has been brilliant and refreshing. And it's, I mean, it's sort of reinvigorated and life affirming to kind of realize you've got a group of amazing people out there that are doing great work still. And, you know, supporting each other, because we, you know, we're contributing to the economy. We're bringing great people into the industry, doing fantastic work. So I think trade bodies, you know, I think every agency, and particularly independent agencies, need to have that kind of support to help them kind of with the broader running of your business.
Yeah. And I think also, I'm not sure if you agree with this, but I find that whenever I've been involved with trade bodies, and especially what's very good about the Alliance for me is the diversity of agencies in there, meaning that I could meet other agencies from different areas that were complementary. And again, that helps strengthen networks sometimes and opportunities to partner with other people. But I find that the people who join trade bodies always have the right mindset. Like, you definitely meet your network improves through a trade body. I mean, there's a lot of places you can go and meet agencies these days, but there is something about a trade body. I think maybe because people have to invest in it a little bit, you know, that, and I don't know, but it seems to me that my network has been better quality almost, if that makes sense. Do you find that?
I mean, I find the word trade body just sounds so old-fashioned in some ways.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It doesn't feel like a trade body as such. You know, it's not unionized. It sort of feels, it's a much more agile, network. And so, it doesn't, to me, it doesn't feel like a trade body as such.
No, let's stop talking about trade bodies. We'll start talking about the Alliance from now on.
Maybe that's me and my sort of background.
Before we move on from that, though, you know, the Alliance is a member of the Advertising Association, which is where the other discipline, and I think there are 24, 27 members of the Advertising Association. So the marketing and
advertising. Tell everyone what the Advertising Association is.
The Advertising Association, frankly, is like a big tent. It's where all the trade bodies for everybody involved in marketing and agency world and clients, so from ISBAR to the IPA to the AIP, all of those organizations come together. So during COVID, we were meeting weekly with government departments on those calls, talking about the issues that we as an industry were facing. And, you know, we were the people standing up for the independent agency community whilst, you know, there were other organizations standing up for their own. And if I look at an organization like the APA, for example, which is the Advertising Production Association, you know, where advertising commercials weren't being shot because they were co-generally, they really fought hard to do that. They managed to get, you know, the production world back on its feet during all these things. And it wouldn't have happened without there being a collective voice for that group in the same way there'd be a collective voice for independent agencies and all the others. So I think the best way of describing the Advertising Association is where the industry connects with the government. And we're fortunate enough to be the members of the independent community around the table.
So people feel passionate about lobbying or trying to make a difference. Obviously, being one of the benefits is that it gives you potentially a route to have some kind of influence or be able to help get involved with things that are going to change at government level.
Yeah. And you took an active role in our debate in the Houses of Parliament, where it was you who said to me, you know, one of the things about well-being in agencies is the cause of it is in the client community. So we had a debate in a committee room in the Houses of Parliament. You spoke up for the motion, and there's been a lot of subsequent good work that came exclusively out of that one debate.
I'm laughing because I'm just cringing at all my old clients listening to this now, me saying they caused all the mental health issues. But yeah, but it was a good debate because there was impact on the way that client demands sometimes, you know, do put exceptional pressure, you know, on agencies. And it was a good debate. And I won the four motion.
Yeah, well,
I got to say, it was the
landslide.
I literally choked at the very beginning. And if someone hadn't brought a glass of water, I've never choked speaking, but it, you know, like the adrenaline or whatever is up here. And I was like, uh-oh. Anyway, it was,
more appreciation for our politicians or not?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And actually, I just learned actually at the end, I had all my sort of script written down, but just, you know, talking from the heart is much more powerful, I think, than sometimes trying to script your way through a debate. I think that's what won, but it was a really good event, and it gave me a great opportunity. And I would say over the years, certainly by being involved, I don't know if you found the same, Ruth, but being involved with trade bodies actually it does create some of those extra sort of almost hidden bits of value to you, where you get opportunities to speak at events and all of these things are actually quite. And actually at that event I met when Clive invited me to the first debate, which I wasn't speaking in, I met two or three people that night who were just people I would never normally have met networking, but were really, really important, influential people to know. So I think, you know, it's. So Ruth, what do you think? What else over the years can you think of as other examples of how alliance or trade bodies have helped you?
Well, I mean, for example, I mean, from a very practical level, I mean, I'm one of the co-chairs of the Alliance, so I look after the people pillar, which is, it looks after diversity, talent, and wellbeing. So having those sort of tools that I can use within the agency, say, for example, kind of diversity codes, or we've been working with Brilliant Creative Minds, again, with the Advertising Association, ISBAR, NABS, and Crown Commercial from a government point of view, to kind of develop a code of conduct around mental health and well-being, which is quite interesting because it's also clients and procurement as well. So trying to get the industry to work together across all agencies, both on client side procurement and you know, independent groups, to make sure that we're all working together to safeguard the well-being of our teams and the talent that we have. So that's an example of kind of practical help. But, you know, and as, you know, coming through your career, you know, you might not be running an agency at the beginning of your career, but often you'll end up running an agency. So having those kind of sort of structures in place and places to go to find information and other people to help. And Clive can talk more about sort of from a purpose point of view. But, you know, a lot of agencies are looking at B Corp status at the moment. I know that, you know, there's a massive backlog, which is a wonderful thing. But working together in a group of agencies who are all working towards B Corp status, helping each other deliver that and get through that process. I mean, that's you know, if you're sitting on your own as a, you know, a small 40-50 person agency and you're not within a group, that can be quite kind of challenging. And, you know, but actually as a collective, we're doing things, we're getting through those kind of work streams really easily because we're working with other agencies. It's phenomenal, I think.
And how much time do you feel that, you know, someone who would join someone like the Alliance, sort of, I mean, how much time do you end up having to sort of donate to help? Because I know that, you know, obviously when you join, I always say to people, you know, when you're, I'm loath to use the word trade body now, but when you join, you know, an organization like the, I'm going to swing that around there, like the Alliance, like I always say to people, you know, you, in a way you get out what you put in to these things. You know, you can't just join and sit back. You know, you have to contribute. It's clear you are, and you're chairing different committees. But, you know, do you set aside a certain amount of hours per month to try and make sure that you are giving it the right support? How to, because it is important, isn't it?
Yeah, not particularly. I mean, you know, it sort of ebbs and flows, but I think it's making sure that at every level across the business, people are putting, as you say, exactly that point, what you put in. So my kind of across my agency team, they might be attending, you know, there's hundreds of events that happen. There's training. So it's making sure that they take those opportunities and making sure that people within the business are jumping on commercial groups, for example, or a new business group and picking up tips and kind of, and that's, and picking and choosing, I suppose, what's appropriate to go to. I mean, you wouldn't go to, you'd spend your entire life on Alliance activities if you had to, you know.
Yeah,
so it's more about finding the right people to go to the right events, plugging people in the right way across the agency.
And Ruth, you touched on something that's quite unique about the Alliance, which is the fact that it is very much, you can hear that classic live thing, that my dog is now barking in the background, sorry, but one of the unique things about Alliance is that It does support the wider team in agencies as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got a future leaders group. So kind of those, you know, us, you know, account directors, those kind of level. And they're really directing what we want, you know, the future agency, and helping kind of direct and you know, the topics that we cover, for example. So we run a Festival of Happiness once a year, and that came out of the Future Leaders Group, because that's something that, you know, they were at the forefront of the mental health wellbeing kind of push. Not, you know, I'm not saying Clive and Graham weren't, but they've got fantastic, you know, they're in the agency living and breathing it. So they're the ones that are directing what topics are covered and what training's needed. So it's great.
Yeah. So let's talk about sort of Clive, the wider benefits of joining the Alliance. In particular, I want to know the thing that, actually, the reason why I first joined, by the way, because I was aware of different trade bodies, but the reason why I joined originally was because I'd actually done a pitch for Friends Reunited. I'm gonna name it, but I'm gonna walk a very thin legal line. Do you remember Friends Reunited, Ruth?
I do.
So I got asked to redesign the website for Friends Reunited, and it was a paid pitch, which I'd never had before at that point. Every pitch was always, I had to pay for it myself. And at the last minute, now I've got a helicopter going above. This is the choice to go outside, may have been a bit mad. Sorry about this. At the last minute, they changed it to not be a paid pitch. They said, oh, look, you know, now it's not going to be. And then we did the pitch. And then about 3 weeks later, we got told we hadn't won the pitch. And then about 2 months later, all of our design work appeared as the new Friends Reunited website. And so all of the pitch work was stolen from us. And I couldn't sue the client, because the client actually ultimately was actually they were owned by one of my clients. And that would have ended up in me probably losing a lot more work. But what I did realize was that the MAAG and now the Alliance had something called pitch protection, which was actually, although that incident made me, you know, as one of the hooks that brought me in, it never happens again, because that's Murphy's Law, isn't it? The moment you have pitch protection, you can guarantee no one's going to steal your creative work. And it's such a rare thing to happen, I find, anyway. But so that's one really good benefit for me, the fact that every time I did a pitch, I used to send the work in advance to your lawyers, who would then put it away. And just in case anyone ever stole the creative work we did or reused it, we had this contingency. So what Clive, what are the other main benefits that people come and join for?
Well, I think we've talked about the peer-to-peer action groups, and we've got 11 of those. So it kind of covers all the areas within an agency. So certainly there are some members who will simply write off their membership fee to training, because we send people to an event like Green Jam last week, where ironically you were presenting as well, Spencer.
I was
paying back. If you send three or four people to Green Jam, that happens every fortnight, they in themselves are fantastic training events. And so that involves, you know, people in the agency in an informal training environment, but also the ability to network. So the 11 action groups, I always call the engine room of the organization. But I think there's one other reason why, which is not material. You know, you talk about protection, and that's used by a number of members, and it ebbs and flows as to where people get involved in that, sometimes worse than others. But I think primarily within the independent sector, if you want there to be a collective voice for the issues that you are facing on a day-to-day basis, it's a very good place to be. And we are facing these things, you know, and there's the new area which we're being advised is coming back firmly onto the horizon, is things like payment terms and large clients taking their time to pay smaller agencies. And just as agencies are getting themselves back on their feet, for those who haven't had a particularly good time, because there have been winners and losers over the last 15 months, without doubt, for large clients to take 90, 120 days to pay their bills is not helpful. And this is something that we have to campaign collectively on, as opposed to doing it as individual businesses. Yes, there's not just the pitch protection, but there's 30 minutes of free legal advice a month that you could have. We also have a thing which I call an app, which is the collective agency purchasing power, where we are buying items which normally you can buy would go onto your P&L, but we're buying to the collective of 80 agencies as opposed to the collective of one. And whether that's stationery or phones or telecom equipment, printers, those kind of things, we can do. I always put a caveat in there. The Apple computers is the one area we can't do great deals on, but other things that we can, and that certainly helps save money. So there are things which can deliver you back, you know, than deliver you back the value of your membership. But I think more importantly, it's we really want agencies of people who are willing to participate. And you know, your question of Ruth and how much time does it take is a good one. But I would like to think that we're asking for a small amount of time from a lot of people in agencies, as opposed to a lot of time from a CEO or people in the C-suite. And therefore, you know, we spread the love.
Yeah, I think I used to sort of maybe 2-3 hours a month was kind of my amount of time. It wasn't, but I wanted to sort of get that clear up front, because I think some people, it's not a lot of time to carve out to get a huge amount of value and feel that you're contributing on a wider level. But it's also to stop people feeling like they're going to have to spend days doing things, because they won't. It's just, you know, as you said, spreading out the involvement across your business. Talk to me about the kite mark. But there's a benchmark you're bringing in as well, isn't there?
There are a few benchmarks. I mean, you know, we have PeoplePulse that runs every quarter. I mean, Ruth probably is, because she runs PeoplePillar, could give more information on that. Do you want to add to
what's
that?
What's PeoplePulse, Ruth?
Right, that's just a quarterly staff survey that your agency employees can input to, but it's also a across all the Alliance members. So you get a quarterly staff engagement report, but you also get a kind of view of the whole industry as well. So you can see where how you're faring against the general group. So, I mean, if you, for example, I mean, we do Great Places to Work Institute each year, which is obviously cost. But if you're a smaller agency that doesn't have the ability to sort of pay for external staff surveys, it's brilliant. It provides you with all the information that you'd have, and also allows you some actions and to pinpoint where there are issues with your team or not. But it's just really helpful. So that kind of thing is just part of the free service of being a member.
It's really nice, because I think a lot of agencies now, they use tools like Office Vibe to benchmark themselves in an individual level, but it's nice to then see how that fares across, you know, your peers. So that's really, really nice.
I also think it's important that some of those things are being done externally as well. I think people might, where they're putting in something anonymously externally, yeah. I think they've got a little bit more confidence, okay, if they're giving scores on leadership or whether the agency is living its values and things like that.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. And what about there was a benchmark, wasn't there, around the quality of your agency as well? You were doing some kind of quality assurance.
Well, we have a verification. We don't let any. There are 15,000 agencies, independent agencies in the country, we believe. There's no accurate number in terms of all this.
Yeah, I keep getting 25,000, but I know it's somewhere between 15 and 25,000 because that's what I hear.
It's a big number, and clearly within that there are good ones and maybe there are some not so good ones. So we now have a third party verification service through an organisation called Globality, who we will provide the information. It's because they've got access to so many sources in terms of credit referencing and legal referencing and things like that, just with a couple of pieces of information, they can verify that as organization in terms of trustworthiness. And it's trustworthiness in terms of their values, it's trustworthiness in terms of their finances and reputation. And so we will only have members into the Alliance who have been verified by that third party. Now, it's not as scary as it sounds, because when we originally started all this and we had 50 members, there were only three that haven't passed. And subsequently, we've only had one who hasn't passed since then. And instead of kind of saying to someone, you know, you can't join, you're out, we give them an indication of what it all is. And actually, within 3 months, they can probably fix the issue. And in terms of the verification, alongside that, there's a code of conduct. And again, the code of conduct is really important, because it looks in terms of things like diversity. It looks in terms of things like well-being and how you treat your staff, and how you interrelate with your clients. It gives an indication in terms of what we believe in terms of pitching, which is not to say, you know, no pitching. But on the other hand, you know, we want people to be involved in a fair fight and not get involved in things that actually might try and undercut others. When there are road pitches. And that's why we've actually got a thing called the Pitch Watchdog that hasn't been used in our time of running the organisation. But when Scott was running it a number of years ago, he did use it a couple of times where there were road pitches that were reported. He changed the way of it.
Yeah, I was in a board meeting when it came to our attention once that someone had sent out, you know, a brief to a load of agencies just to get all of the information.
Over 50.
Wow.
So there are things like that, which again, to have somewhere like a trade organization that you can go to and be able to anonymously have somebody taking up that cause, I think is important, because we've got to improve, trustworthiness, both in terms of agencies and both in terms of clients.
Yeah. The other thing that I want you just reminded me of, I think, is, and Ruth, you mentioned being in the agency world since the 90s, is that the experience that actually some of the members in the Alliance can give you, because this, I work a lot with the kind of the grassroots, I call them, of agencies. There's a lot of people starting up every day, read our book or reach out to us and, you know, in the community. And actually what I, when we wrote our book, Agencynomics, we wrote it because we felt there was a lost art of information. Like, you know, a lot of new agencies don't know what a tissue meeting is and how that could benefit them in a sales process. And so it's those kind of things that the experience of, and I remember sitting on a board meeting once where an agency was had actually left being a member because they went out of business. And when we were like, well, what happened to them? It turned out that a freelancer who was working on some work for the agency had actually put the work up on YouTube, and the work was basically under NDA. And it was, and so they were being sued by the client for $7 million, and their insurance levels were only $5 million. And so therefore they had to liquidate the company and close it down. And so the lessons of making sure you have proper contracts with your contract, your suppliers, like that day I learned that. And I think for me, it's some of the shared learning from more, you know, from people who've been in the agency world a lot longer, because there are so many people entering agencies today who've never even worked in an agency before. They haven't got the careers that you've had over the years. So is there a question there for you, Ruth? Do you agree with
that? I do agree with you. And I mean, maybe this is my personal view, but I think a lot of people come into leadership or kind of management roles having worked on client side and, you know, done the craft, but they haven't actually run the businesses. And I think there is a bit of a knowledge gap often. I mean, I've listened to your book, but it's important. It's really important to have those safe spaces for particularly sort of up and coming management to have those conversations and kind of learn those skills have those conversations with other, you know, agencies that aren't necessarily competitive to kind of check their decisions. And so I think it's a really important thing, because, you know, we're all running small businesses. I mean, it's phenomenal, the kind of entrepreneurial spirit within the sector. Think about how many small businesses there are, but we also need to be robust in how we run those businesses and have the kind of commercial rigor. You know, it's not just about doing great work, it's also about running successful commercial businesses. And I do think you get, you know, the alliance will allow your creative directors to kind of meet and have, but it also has a commercial group where your head of finance can work with, you know, operations directors or other commercial heads to make sure that you're thinking through, and particularly through COVID, that was really important, particularly with, you know, leases and, you know, payment terms and making sure that clients, you know, all that stuff, you know, furloughing, all the things that we had to do as a group of collective of the sector that no one ever had kind of thought about before. So that was, and that for me, when we, you know, the alliance was worth its weight in gold going through the last 18 months. I mean, just also sharing and making, because we're all going through it.
Yeah, but I also think, Spencer, the part of all of that is, you know, I think one of the values that I think throughout the alliance, but I think it, you know, is collaboration. And it's not only just collaboration between the members, but it's collaboration with, you know, yourselves and Agencynomics. It's collaboration with Pimento. It's collaboration with Network One. And I know that the Network One has been, you know, helpful for you. And you know, these kind of, because it's difficult. No one's got all the answers, and it's really important where, if you want to kind of learn from each other and support each other, it is a two-way street. You taught me this word, reciprocity, and I know it's important to you, and I use it a lot, because, you know, it's not just being part of this organization or any other and expecting it to do something for you. We're expecting something back, because your contribution will make a difference. And that's why we open our doors to anybody and everybody in order to collaborate, because there are a lot of people doing some really good stuff out there. And if we think that can help and improve the agencies, the people, the agencies, make people better, make people happier, make people kinder, then we'll work with them in order to do that. You know, we're not a standalone organization in that regard.
And you've also got some quite famous members as well. I believe Sir Martin Sorrell is actually a member of the alliance. So you're in good company.
S4 Capital is a member. Sir Martin will be making another another return visit on the 3rd of November.
I have to say, the
talking about independence.
Yeah, the interview you did with him last year, I just loved. I mean, the alliance was incredible during COVID. I mean, did you put on over 100 events in that period?
No, it was just that. Yeah, between March 27th and June the 25th, when we did the session with Sir Martin, that was our 100th event in that time.
That was incredible, and I that interview that you did, I loved it. I mean, again, I learned stuff from it, and I think I know everything. But you realize the more you know, the more you don't know. And so, you know, just listening to him speaking, there were a couple of really beautiful nuggets in there that, you know, were great takeaways for me. And I think he did a great job. And again, if he's coming back in November, I'll definitely be moving my diary around to listen to that, because it was interesting.
And his view, and we'll be covering it, because we're actually the future leaders are doing work on the agency of the future, and that actually is a questionnaire that goes out tonight, and the CEOs are also putting together a study to define the DNA of an independent agency, which is not to say an independent agency is better than alternative. It's just different, and what we want to do is we want to verify what those differences are in the eyes of the client. And Opinium are putting that together. And then once we've got some of those findings back, we'll be talking to Martin, because I think they're similar things that he now talks about in terms of this kind of collective endeavor, the relationship between economic control and management control, and just being better at what you do, and therefore it's specialism.
Yeah. So Ruth, I really didn't really talk much about you and your agency at the beginning. I jumped straight into it. So I just wanted to quickly ask, can you give us a little bit of background on Circle?
Circle is an independent employee-owned PR business, digital business. So we work with the likes of PepsiCo, Ferrero, Nomad Foods, a Bird's Eye, Aunt Bessie's, Honda Cars. So we do corporate consumer brands, digital and trade communications. We're about 40, 45 people. We were based in Paddington and Beaconsfield, but our Paddington office, we've got no one in there, or had no one in there. So we're all virtual. A great independent agency that's growing. I mean, we were very lucky, I think, going through COVID because of the client base that we have in terms of food and drink, which was quite robust during the period we've just had. Obviously, you know, some other agencies have not been quite so lucky. So we are, you know, we've been quite fortunate through the last 18 months and are growing. So we take advantage of the alliance and you know, our teams as an independent business to kind of give us that kind of breadth and training and support. But very, very sort of entrepreneurial independent agency.
Yeah, brilliant. And I guess that's
and they're an EOT, Spencer.
Oh, are you? Okay, interesting. Well, I think maybe another occasion, Reef, I need to get you back in. And we can talk all things EOT.
Yes.
Because I feel it's a bit like B Corps. EOT is a hot subject at the moment. But I'm a little bit like, I like to look at things from all perspectives. I've seen them work well, but I've also seen them not work well. And I'd love to talk about some of the strengths and weaknesses of them and get more of a holistic, rather than the always glamorized, it's the best thing ever. And I kind of think there's...
Yeah, we've been an EOT for 3 years now. So it's quite, you know, yeah.
That's good. We might have learned some lessons from the whole experience.
So we were one of the, I think there's a Tangerine up in Manchester, and then we were the first PRCA accredited agency to be an EOT. So, but 3 years in, you know, we've got obviously learnings and lessons. So far, so good.
Yeah, we'll definitely make that happen, because I would really like to talk more about that area. And the fact you've done it so long, it'd be massive value add. But I guess as CEO, you know, there are challenges, as we all know, that happen in agencies at different periods. Right now, there seems to be this overwhelming talent attraction. Suddenly the marketplace is harder to find talent. Agencies, you know, I think you weren't the only one that was fortunate in a really weird way. I think there were a lot of agencies that have benefited in the current climate and have grown. Yes, there were some sectors that were really terribly hit, but most agencies I've come across, you know, are actually experiencing. I was with a friend this weekend who's now part of a very, very large global agency, and they're set for 50% growth this year. So it's not an uncommon trend, but everyone's struggling with resource. And so I guess when you've got those challenges, two things. One, I think, I guess you must find that everyone else is in the alliance probably has similar problems. So it's easy to share and talk about them, but also, you know, when you do have challenges, you can take those in and ask other people, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's quite reassuring if you're, for example, you know, we're recruiting, but it is really difficult to find good talent. And I don't know whether that's because people are or have been quite cautious about leaving jobs, but in the current climate. So, you know, so they're cautious about that. But finding great people, and obviously the whole, you know, induction, getting new people on board when you're virtual is really tough. And particularly for the kind of grads and junior people who are coming through who've never worked in an office before. And I mean, they're having, it's really, really hard for them. And you know, if you're in a flat share in central London, it's very different to sitting in your garden, Spencer, with your birds and your dogs. You know, it is a completely different environment. So, you know, it's reassuring that a lot of agencies are having a similar problem. I mean, we've got a big job to do, I think, in terms of the creative industries and getting people into the industry and communicating to young people about what amazing careers they can have. And I don't think we do a good enough job of that. And I think, you know, we've been working with Career Ready, which is trying to get kids from, you know, diverse backgrounds and sort of to even consider coming into this industry. And, we've presented at Luton Sixth Form College a while ago, 60 students there didn't even know what comms or PR or social media was at all. And so they're not getting advised about what opportunities in the industry there is. So we're not getting the grads or the school leavers that we could do. So, I mean, that's a massive problem that we need to all solve, because, you know, if they're not coming in, we're not going to be able to hire them.
Yeah, it's very, very true. I think that at the moment, definitely anything around talent attraction and retention and DEI is just, you know, such an important area for agencies. And yeah, I've just been updating the book, and we've done a big, big update in that area. And, you know, it's clear that there's a lot more. And I think this is where really the Alliance, you know, can really, really help, because I think there's an education piece there, but also it's an engagement piece. And, mm-hmm. You know, we interviewed someone last week on Agency Phonics, who Mills Banjo, who focuses on Gen Z recruitment and diversity, equity and inclusion. And he was sort of talking about, you know, the lack of engagement in communities that are going to help them, you know, businesses attract a wider, more diverse talent base. And so I think there's a lot of lessons that still a lot of agencies need to learn about these things as well. So again, I think it's a really, really, really important that I guess all of your agencies are going to start expressing similar challenges, and you can solve them together. And those who've got experience,
Ruth mentioned Career Ready, who we've worked with. We're also working with the Brixton Finishing School, and these are organisations that a lot of independents wouldn't know about, because, you know, people are running involved in smaller businesses have got their heads down, and, you know, they're focusing on the clients and the people in the business, but we do navigate and draw to their attention these kind of issues and put them in touch with organisations who are doing some really good stuff in those areas that can make a difference to their business. And, we've already provided
the finishing school.
We've provided over 50 mentors. The Alliance has provided over 50 mentors to the Brixton Finishing School.
I'm sure we donated some of our profits from one of our events to them last year. I have to check with Abby, but I'm going to... Yeah. I'll put them in the show notes. I'll put as much in for all the topics we've covered today in the show notes. But Clive, if people and Ruth, if people do want to get connected with the Alliance, how do they go about it? What do they need to do?
Go on the website. And it's all there. As Martin Sorrell said, you know, if you want to talk to him, he gave his email address. My email address is clive@allindependentagencies.org. So
when he gave his email out, I was like, I can't believe he's done it. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm too scared to email him.
Like, he probably hopes that no one and everyone's too terrified to actually email him.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, because I didn't.
if you ask him and he's been asked this, one of the things he wish he could stop, it's replying to emails. If you send him an email, he will reply probably within about 6 minutes.
Wow.
It takes me four days.
They're not. But it's about energy and accessibility, and I think that's the one thing I have retained is energy and accessibility in this area. So if anyone wants to contact me, clive@allindependentagencies.org, we'll talk it through.
And don't be scared though to email Clive.
No, you're not. And I also think, not to be salesy, but I mean, you know, in terms of the value and the kind of the pricing of the Alliance, you know, the value that you get from your membership, and I'm talking as a member here, it's phenomenal value. And that goes back to the point, what you put in, you get back in spades. So it's hugely valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly say that some of my best personal contacts, Clive and obviously now you included, but over the years have come from everything I've done with Trade Bodies. Like we talked about Jamie Matthews before we started, Hugh Robertson, who, you know, has become a dear friend and you know, as he always describes it, a good person to cathartically talk about agency life with. But, you know, I've made so many dear friends and some brilliant connections, you know, all because of trade associations, and majority because of the Alliance and its former incarnation. So, you know, anyone listening to this, get in touch with these guys and get involved and learn more and do your bit for the agency community and the independent scene.
And those two people you mentioned, they've put a huge amount in over the years in order to share. And Hugh did a fantastic job in our regional Festival of Happiness, talking through some of the issues that he's faced. And I think it's that desire to be open and therefore, you know, to collaborate, but in all the positive as well as the negative stuff is important, because it also, running an independent agency can be a very lonely business. And I think that's why people come to Agencynomics, and that's why they come to Cactus and things like that. Because they want to be able to look across the industry and see how others are coping with the same issues there. And that's why we always say, it doesn't matter whether you're a finance director or a creative director or someone new to the agency world, you'll meet like-minded individuals.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, we have had, I can't believe an hour has gone by. It seems to have gone very quickly, but have you got everything across that you'd want to share with me today? Anything to add?
I think so. Got another couple of shows on getting people into the industry and employee-owned businesses, but
yeah. And I think we're definitely going to do that follow-up episode, Ruth, for sure. Clive, Ruth, thank you so much for your time today. I think this is one of those areas that there's just a lack of, I mean, I think genuinely when I talk to a lot of agencies, they're not even aware that there are trade bodies, you know, of the Alliance and what the great work that you do. And I'm hoping that whenever someone asks me from now on, I'm just going to point them to this episode and hopefully they can hear it firsthand. So thank you for your time today, both of you. I really appreciate it. I know you're both busy people.
Thank you very much, Spencer.
And that's the wrap. I hope everyone's enjoyed this episode.